Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 2nd, 2025. I have your host James here with you, and we're joined by our good friend Sheriff Sean Becker, Wood County Sheriff's Department. Sean, good to see you.
Hey, always great to see you, and I first want to start off by apologizing for last month. I missed our show, and I hope everybody will forgive me. I think I have an okay reason. For me, it's the best reason you ever can have, but our daughter Jordan had her son. He was 6 weeks premature, so we weren't really ready for everything, but hey, it all worked out. My grandson, or our grandson, River Becker Moon, is home, healthy, gaining weight, doing all great things that he needs to do, but that's what was going on last month. So
understandable.
Again, I apologize for missing our show. It's a the first time, I think, since we've been starting, so I hope I get a freebie there.
You absolutely do. You got to mulligan on that one for sure. Of all reasons, especially. Mazel tov, salut to you and yours. Yeah. That's wonderful. And one of the better names I have heard in a very long time. That is a good name right there. That's a great name.
It threw Julie and I a little bit because we missed the – we wouldn't want to be there during the delivery, but we got there about an hour afterwards, and her and David didn't want to tell us the name right away because I think they were still, they knew the middle name,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't tell us that either. And they waited until the next day to let everybody know. And the reason being is they named him River because they met on the river, River over in Buren by Anchor Bay. And, you know, so I'm like, oh, so you did put some thought into it. and you know, continuing the Becker name too was kind of mm-hmm. pretty cool as well that they both agreed upon. So, yeah, things are going well. It's that next chapter in our life to enjoy grandchildren, and it's pretty cool. It's still surreal, you know. We're still, mm-hmm. But yeah.
That's really cool. Congratulations. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us. And you brought in some more friends and family.
Here, yeah, huh? I did. It's been a while. I know I've talked quite a bit about our other two guests here often, our daughter Caitlin and then her husband Dylan. Unfortunately for them, they were in town this this time frame. And you know me, I love to bring in family and friends because the show isn't about me. And when I get an opportunity to talk about family, and you know, especially family, because you know, with this position, it's not about me, it's about, you know, everybody else that's around that has helped make this happen. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin, huge part of that. You know, when we decided to, you know, run for this position, it wasn't a me thing, it was a we thing. And then you look at building that platform, we've talked about it a lot on the show, and our platform was simple. Mm-hmm. You know, mental health. It's not simple, but it was simple for us to look at and say, okay, what can you potentially change? What can you do as a law enforcement officer to have an impact on the community? But you can say that, but you can see how you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, we've talked about the jail, patrol, CIT, and then going back to, you know, the campaign 7+ years ago, you know, talking with Caitlin, you know, she at the time was at UW-Madison studying social work. I'm like, okay, you know, picking her brain, you know, on trauma, you mm-hmm. know, and trauma, how that affects people, not just the law enforcement side of it, but the community, you know, mm-hmm. and trauma-informed care and things like that. You know, going back to that time frame, you know, she did a video for the campaign that wasn't BS. Mm-hmm. You know, it was something that she knew and something that I learned, you know, and then as, you know, we all learned on the mental health side of things mm-hmm. and how you can impact the community on the law enforcement end of things. There's still a lot of work to be done, but, you know, you only can control what you can. And within our community here, I think that, you know, we've done a good job. We still need to improve, but by focusing on the niches that we've had, you know, I'm proud of. And I'm very proud that Caitlin had the opportunity to at least educate me on a young student at UW-Madison and kind of what we're seeing here and what can we do to make some changes here. And we have, and we'll talk about a little bit more about that throughout the show, because we got a grant that is going to allow us to hire a social worker under the Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that with you.
But anyway, enough me. Caitlin and her husband Dylan. Dylan was just recently finished the academy for the Madison Fire Department, so he started his shifts already. So that was a long journey. Funny thing is, both of them graduated high school together, but didn't start dating until after graduation. And I think it was after Dylan finished his tour. He was a Marine. And then they connected after that, and the rest is kind of history.
Right on.
Yeah, so he served our country. You know, appreciate that more than you know. Thank you, Dylan. And yeah, just them connecting.
One other thing before we introduce you guys that I want to thank you both for, too, and I second what Sheriff Becker is saying about the service and being a firefighter. I appreciate it, man. Really do. Also appreciate you guys being here. One of the things that I've wanted to do, because he's too, you know, he's not going to do it for himself. None of these guys will. But I want to make sure to do with this job is humanize our departments, our fire departments, our police departments, our sheriff departments. We need more of that. You guys help us do that. You guys help us remind everybody. Is a human being right here. He's got a job to do like everybody else out there, but that behind that badge is a heart, is a human being. And it helps us remind our audience, our community of that, which I don't know that we can do enough. So I appreciate you guys being here for that, along with me being able to put you on the spot. ask questions. I mean, ask questions. We're going to have fun. No, I'll let you guys introduce yourselves so we can put a name to the voice. We'll start with you, Dylan.
Yeah, my name is Dylan Rickaby. Like Sean said, I'm City of Madison firefighter. It was a long journey. It was about a two-year hiring process that I did twice before I finally got the job, and then 6 months of academy, and now I'm freshly out doing my job, getting some shifts. Yeah, it's a lot of fun and cool right experience.
Do you get to have the mustache after graduation, or do you have to have it before? How does that work? No, just kidding.
Well, this mustache took me the whole process to grow. Yeah, so
it's understandable.
So yeah, I'm going to hold on to it as long as I can.
Right on, right on. It looks good. Why would you? Yeah, keep it. Yeah.
Thank you.
And Caitlin, if you wouldn't
mind. I'm Caitlin Becker, and I'm a social worker and therapist in Madison.
Thanks for being here, Caitlin. Appreciate that. If you don't mind, I really quickly out of the gate, I have to ask, because I think that it's just it's something that everybody might be thinking about. When we think about our officers or anybody in that type of role, when you think about their kids, their wives, their husbands, their significant others, the people at home, we've seen TV shows, movies that give you little glimpses of this before and everything, but we don't often get to actually talk to somebody from it. And then hearing the kind of field that you went into. So I have to ask right away, did you know, growing up with Sean and the field that he was in, did that influence or have any impact, do you think, on your career choice?
I didn't prepare an answer for that.
Good. That's what I wanted. But it's also some, if you haven't thought about it before, I think that kind of is the answer. Yeah. I think that kind of tells you right there.
No,
that,
I mean, I think it did. I feel like our whole family is more of like a service minded of, I mean, I feel like Jordan too. So I think it was probably more of like the values and empathy. So I think that definitely probably impacted what route I chose.
Yeah. When it comes to the kind of work you do, what is, and certainly not getting too detailed or anything like that, but in a roundabout kind of way, what is the kind of work that you're doing?
My full-time role is a contracted with the Dane County Human Services, a bunch of different school districts. So I'm in the Madison School District in a nonprofit, and we're a crisis stabilization program, fully voluntary. So schools send referrals for kids that are usually struggling and families that need more support. And then I'm able to work with families in the community and try to just build up their support network, get them connected to more resources, to just try to get them a little bit more stable and in a spot where they can just have a better life. And then I support the school team with like programming for the student, and then work with the students for some skill building or just to involve them with decisions that are kind of being made around them.
Right on. Appreciate that work. I was one of those kids and could have used somebody like you, you know, and everything. I mean, look where I ended up. No, I'm joking. But in all honesty, that is just as integral work as these guys are doing. It's a very important, very vital work that we don't have enough people doing, to be honest. And it's really great to hear. from your perspective and being into this field where you are, and certainly I know you haven't been in it 20, 30 years or anything, but in the time that you've been doing it, are there certain things that you're seeing are bigger issues than others, or just in general that, you know, at all?
I mean, in Madison, housing is huge. I mean, we're in a housing crisis, and there's really not much housing available, and what is available is excessively expensive. So with families that, at least where I work with in my side of town, I do a lot of either housing preservation work or supporting families that don't have housing and try to get housing. So my mindset is definitely very housing first before you can kind of do anything else.
And that's I mean, that's a great way to approach it. I think that's really cool. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. And I did want to ask Dylan, you touched on this a little bit and everything. I we don't get a chance to talk to firefighters or people that do that very often and everything, and I will admit to the audience, I the questions I'm asking Dylan, I've already asked my youngest, her fiance, so I've already got pre-done this already. But how long did the let me rewind enough, what made you want to be a firefighter?
It's kind of a mix of things. I knew I wanted to be in the service field still. After getting out of the Marines, I realized quickly I missed being in service. So I bounced around. I went to college at UW-Madison for psychology. And then it was a mixture of someone mentioning how difficult it was to become a Madison firefighter and the process. And then realizing that that's probably one of the best ways I can kind of influence and help my community and give back to the city of Madison.
You mentioned the training and the waiting to get hired and some of that. How long did it take you to be able to get into that step, to that stage?
So I had originally applied in 2021, I think, was the first go around. And I was in that hiring process for about a year before. I got let go after the community board interviews. So I waited, it was about a year again, and then they started hiring once more, so I did it again. And then that process was about a year and a half before you get the call from the chief that you got the job. So it's been, you know, almost 5 years going on this journey. But I know a lot of people that do it 12, 10 years. I had a guy in my class that applied 6 times before he got the job, so...
I don't think a lot of people would know that, a common thing in that field. And it just speaks to how badly you really want to do this, to do that, to stick with it like that and everything. And again, greatly appreciate everything both of you are putting into your separate fields and what you're doing. Sean, did you have anything you wanted to touch on with them or anything? Or I know you got news and notes for us.
Yeah, no. And another thing Dylan should bring up after, you know, serving our country, then he got into UW-Madison. And then I think it worked out perfectly that, you know, he didn't get that first round because you weren't done with school yet. But then he got hired on that second round and he graduated from UW-Madison. So now you have, you know, your career in the service and then now, you know, a bachelor's degree. You know, I'm sure people will argue with me, but I think from the best university in the state of Wisconsin. You know, so that's pretty cool. You know, two huge accomplishments both of them had. You know, they both are UW grads. Kaylin went on to get her master's right away, which was, I think, a really smart thing to do, even though you're kind of as a student, do I have to keep going? But get it done, because one of my biggest regrets, you know, throughout my career was I had the opportunity to get my master's. I didn't, and here I'm sitting right now without it. You know, I don't know if it had changed my career path, but it would have been a nice thing to have, you know, if I would have done something to do that. So, you know, besides that, and the other thing we should bring up, Caitlin tackles much better than Dylan. I want to make that very clear.
It's very, okay, good to know, good to know.
They both played high school football, if anybody knows me really well, they noticed that probably every year I share a clip of when Kaylin was playing for the Red Raiders, and we were up in D.C. Everest, and she was our kicker, and had a nice kickoff, and Dylan missed a tackle. They're on the same kickoff. They're there together, and, you know, somebody had to have your back, and Kaylin did. So, you know, thinking about it, Far ahead, you know, she'll always have your back.
Of all the times not have our good friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in here, I wish to God you guys could see their faces right now. I really do. I appreciate you both being here. I really do.
I'm sure we'll think of a couple other things.
I gotta check that clip again.
You'll find it. It's on YouTube. It's on my page. You'll find it. It's pretty cool. She had a long ponytail and she's running and takes the guy out. Pretty good tackle.
It seems like that really motivated you, man, because, boy, have you accomplished a lot since then. We appreciate you both being here. Thank you again for the time, Sean. There was a couple of things I want to get to, but I really wanted to make sure we got to the topic that you touched on before. Our Rapids Police Department, I know, and our local OCD are working together on a grant, and you touched on that a little bit.
Yeah, we're part of that too. That core responder model.
Yes, I was wondering. I wanted to answer that.
I know we are part of that, and. Who our contact at our department is, Captain, Charlie Hoogstegger, who has been, working with ODC from the get-go before the Legacy Grant was awarded. And it really, fits, the initiatives of, I really strongly feel with law enforcement having, that connection with, the other stakeholders within the community and with human services, with the social work connection, you have to have a strong working relationship there. And what you're seeing with a lot of law enforcement agencies as you move forward and those that can, I wouldn't say believe, but have the opportunity to partner with these other stakeholders. But I've always dreamed about, as we move forward with the career of having our own social worker working under, the Sheriff's Department umbrella. Our employee. And that's where, that partnership with ODC started with. All right, you have somebody out there that, and Legacy has done a phenomenal job supporting our community, especially with many mental health initiatives. And, the Sheriff's Department had an opportunity through the state to essentially hire a social worker with what we're talking about. It all started with, having a deputy that's assigned to mental health. And that was Doug Christensen. He retired. Now we have Alicia Brundage, who was promoted in that position. She'll be a guest soon enough.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
This grant opportunity came out several months ago, and we have a couple of really good contacts at the Family Health Center out of Marshfield. Daniel Luther and Rachel Sankowski, they've helped us out writing grants before, got us a COPS grant, a couple other grants out there. It's nice to have those connections because don't look at me to write a grant. Yeah. You're not going to understand what I write. Everything's going to be misspelled and, whatever. But anyway, and then also our Chief Deputy, Quentin Ellis, after we decided this would be a good opportunity, they put the time, the effort in, and we just got awarded the grant through the state. And it's a deflection grant, but I think the best way to, explain it is we're going to have a social worker at the Sheriff's Department that will assist Alicia. When we're dealing with welfare checks or any type of, situation, whether it's from the jail that we identify or out in the community that we have, like I said, a welfare check or there's something else that comes in that we need to follow up on to connect people with other stakeholders within the community. I think it makes us more valuable as, hey, we're all just cops. No, now we have not only a cop that is doing these types of investigations and helping people, but now we're doubling down and having a social worker that is also going to be assisting it. So we're growing that division, and before I decide to retire, I hope we add more, because I think with that response out in the community, not only that you have a social work that can follow up on a situation or, they respond to it. Depending on when that comes in. And then, all right, taking some time away from our law enforcement officers, then our social worker can now work with these people that called in a crisis, and now they can help them work through that. And like I said, there's a lot of stakeholders out there that want to help people. So I'm really excited to say that we were awarded this grant. It's a three-year grant, and, my intentions, I totally believe that the program will be successful. The mental health deputy, our investigator, that started with a grant, from legacy. And once the grant was finished, we added that to a budget because of the difference it's making in our community. I fully expect that to continue to happen with this position. And it's exciting. And also partnering with the co-responder model that ODC has put together. That wasn't exclusive to Wisconsin Rapids Police Department. A lot of the work is probably going to be generated from there because of the call volume, but we also have that connection as well. So I think things are growing, you know, in that commitment that I had started off talking about on mental health. You know, how can we make those changes as a law enforcement agency to help people? And I've really found that that is really the foundation, you know. And you look at drug abuse, drug addiction, you know, how did that addiction start? You know, it's probably something to do with a mental health situation, illness or something that drove somebody to go down that path. I'm excited to see this happen. Sometimes things don't happen as fast as we'd like, but getting these kind of opportunities, you take them, move forward with it, and see what kind of difference you can make in the community.
To that point of what you're just piggybacking on what you last said there, Sean, while this is new and it's great to see, it's awesome, very good, very encouraged about this news and everything it was when I saw the report first, I couldn't help but thinking this is something we probably should have always had. You know, we probably should have had this forever. And I'm not saying in like, you know, last 10 years, last 20 years. I mean, like, since we built a police department, we probably should have always had this. We put a lot on the shoulders of people wearing those badges. And there's a lot that you guys can handle. There's a lot you guys can take care of. There's a lot that you're prepared to handle better than anybody else. But there are those gray areas. There are those areas that you know way better than I do that you just don't have the tools, don't have the abilities to, or quite, you know, bluntly, just don't have the information or the knowledge or the schooling or et cetera, et cetera. I'm encouraged by this. I'm encouraged anytime I'm seeing that we're hiring people to do a job that they're hired to, or that they were good, they're good for, or they're good at. Anything that assists our departments out there is an asset to our community. And while all this is great, I don't want it to get lost on anybody either, that this is oftentimes I try not to be overdramatic here, but it can be a life or death thing.
Absolutely.
And not just for the person, but for our officers or anybody else involved. When words can solve things, that we need to go use that as the resource. That should be the number one thing we're going to before anything else. And being able to have this resource there gives us that ability to be able to do that more. It's a new program, and this is a bit of a newer thing, so I don't want to give you give us an example of this kind of thing. But in your head or the way we can imagine this and can, you know, let the audience know about this, how would this break down in an average situation where they would be needed?
Yeah, great question. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is a welfare check, and, you know, that happens quite often. You know, it's a common, unfortunate call to service where people are in crisis and they don't know who else to call. You know, and oftentimes it's 911. And then, you know, we'll get, you know, I couldn't tell you how frequent that call is. Could be, you know, at least a couple per shift. Could be none. It really depends on, you know, what's going on. But, you know, what I'm envisioning, you know, okay, we get that welfare check. Whether we have our social worker working or not, if they're working, the expectation is they get the opportunity to go to the call once it's a safe situation for them to be at, and then help us, all right, really start to look at what's going on. All right, once the scene is safe, and then we find out, okay, what's going on, and this isn't a legal situation, like there wasn't a crime committed. We have to look at, all right, some people need some help here. Now, what kind of follow-up can we do to connect people with the services that they need at that moment? And then the expectation is to, from there, if our social worker or, you know, Alicia's not working, is, okay, we follow, they follow up in situations. All right, hey, we, a couple of days ago, responded to a welfare check. Here's the information. This is what we dealt with. Mm-hmm. Call them or go and see them and say, okay, what's going on? Can we help you out with any type of other stakeholders or something through human services, you know, any type of counseling that is available, that kind of thing. That's you know, right off the top of my head, what I'm thinking that where this big fit is. And
yeah.
That's what makes the most sense to me. But, you know, again, we don't have the person hired yet. It'll probably start.
Yeah.
I'm envisioning some sort of time in August that this person will be going.
Cool.
But that's what I'm thinking right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that's the exact way this person
is. It's a great example, though. I think it's a good way of...
That's my expectations, at least. There will be other opportunities, I'm sure, to be out in the community. I think a lot of getting the education out there that we have this position and mm-hmm. people knowing it, maybe there'll be direct calls. You know, first and foremost, when people do call us, we'll respond. If it's welfare check, the priority is making sure the scene is safe, not only for the people called, but for our people as well. And then once that's determined and the scene is safe, now we can, hey, let's work on getting people help. Thing that does bother me, and I'm hoping that as we move forward with our mental health initiatives, and it's not just exclusive to Wood County, is sometimes we get over focused, and this happens on both sides, whether you're a social worker or you work for human services in crisis or in law enforcement, or if a crime is committed, depending on what the crime is, it doesn't mean that person should go to jail right away. We have to look at that crisis. And okay, if there are criminal charges there, they will be dealt with mm-hmm. at some point. But what is the priority at that particular time? And I understand an argument that some people might have that, hey, the jail is a safe environment. We have the obligation and duty to make sure that any inmate is safe in mm-hmm. our facility. But are they going to get the proper treatment? You have to look right. at that. And that's where I've butted heads with people before mm-hmm. and that's where the system, I think, will always need the improvements. But unfortunately, I've seen throughout my career, especially the last 10 or so years, that, there's a crime that, there's probable cause in this welfare check that show that maybe it's a disorderly conduct or mm-hmm. something like that. I'll put them in jail. Mm-hmm. We can get them in jail. It'll be a safe environment. And then, we'll trust the legal system to take that person the path to get them the help they need. That's not fair. I mean, we're doing a lot in our jail. We have counselors that are available to provide help for people while they're in custody, mm-hmm. but look at the big problem. What right. brought them here? No, maybe that person needed to be committed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're suicidal, or homicidal or something. Mm-hmm. Is jail the right environment for them? No. Where can we get them to get that treatment started in a secure facility? And then, we'll deal with the criminal charges later.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be there. They're not going to get a free pass.
Right.
What you did is what you did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a struggle that I have periodically, but I've seen throughout time that attitude is changing. I'd love to see, in a perfect world, somebody that's struggling in the community, they don't even call us. They go to the hospital, and get treatment there.
Yeah.
That's where I wish that this all went to, because, you're putting law enforcement in the middle of it. And, most often, or, many cases, we don't have to be. But since we're going to be, that's why you have a social worker working for us.
When I was first saw this article and I first heard about it, and you and I talked about this quite a while ago too, so been known about it for a while, and seeing the grant go through, was very excited. One of the first thoughts I had was, and it's not at all the same. I don't mean to compare the jobs or anything, but there was a similarity to me about a hostage negotiator. And that most departments have something like that, a person specifically that is good at this and does this job. Not saying that's their only job, but that is a key part of their job, doing that. It would not be anybody in our listening ship, anybody in this country, in this world, you would imagine that most departments would have that, would have somebody mm-hmm. that does that. That just seems to make sense. And especially in this day and age, granted that you would have something like that. This isn't that different than that. Looking into the history of hostage negotiators and all that, it's not that old of a history. We didn't always have something like that, but now it's kind of common. It's kind of assumed that most mm-hmm. bigger, especially bigger cities and right. everything would have something like that. I believe that this could be that. 10, 20 years from now, where we have a position that's just, well, of course they have that. Why right. wouldn't they? You know, well, it makes sense. I think we're just in those early days of this where we're kind of building it now, but eventually at one point it'll just be common. Yeah, we have this. And, you know, not just our department, of course, here in town, but other rural communities, other smaller communities have this.
It's a great point. You know, things I think are evolving, just like in life, things, you know, change for the better. And you look at the opportunities, you know, what I've seen, people are listening. You know, it's, you know, years ago when you talked about mental health and there's a huge stigma against it, you know, now you flip it around and say, okay, if you go and get help, well, you should be applauded for that.
Yeah.
Especially if you do it on your own terms, you know, but years ago it was, you're shunned at, you know, even like officer wellness. You know, that was never an issue when I started. And it's like when you see something that is traumatizing to a family or people or yourself, it's like toughen up.
Yeah.
You know, and we've said we've lost a lot of great law enforcement officers because of that mentality, you know, but that's changed a lot, you know, and now it's really on that individual officer. If you see something, we'll follow up with you, but you have to have you have to say, okay, you know, I want to do something about this. I want to deal with it, you know, and we've implemented, you know, a strong officer wellness program. Always, again, could be better, but, you know, now we've got wellness checks that we just started, you know, and it's unfortunate there's a cost to that, but we'll find the money. And, you know, I found that the majority of our department that saying, hey, you're going to do an officer wellness check every year. And there was very few people that did not want to participate.
That's good news.
And really good to hear. It is kind of mad I was at them. It's like, okay. But then on the flip side of it, you know, everybody went through, and some of the people that I thought would push back on it actually went through it and enjoyed it. So it's like, okay. It's so I think we're batting a pretty good percentage on our department that we finally took that initiative. It took a while because of unfortunate cost, and just like many things, you know, the social worker position, you started off with a grant, you know, you put, you know, your information out there and your whys, and then when people review that, and they do, they invest in it, and that's where we've been very, very fortunate throughout the last 7 years on the grant opportunities that we've had, not only locally but state and federally. You know, where we've gotten positions. I'm hoping we get another one. I'd love to see an SRO resource officer up in Auburndale.
Yeah.
They've been talking about it for a long time. And a COPS grant came out that we did apply for. Hoping we get it. The only catch is, and it comes down to money, it doesn't fund the entire position. So if we get it, we'll do our best to make it happen.
Speaking with Sheriff Sean Becker, we have Caitlin and Dylan with us as well. Sean, I've already kept you a half an hour. I've already kept you a while here and everything, so I don't want to keep you too long, but there is a couple things we definitely want to get into, especially as we're gearing up for the 4th.
Yeah.
You have anything you wanted to touch on with the 4th of July?
Oh, common sense.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, please, common sense. You know, law enforcement-wise, you know, fireworks, if they leave the ground, technically they're most likely illegal. You know, be safe. I mean, you can buy them anywhere. You know your neighbors, know the time when you're thinking about doing it. Please, just common sense. That's the biggest thing. You know, another thing I'd bring up, is something different. We had a bench meet out at Anchor Meet, a bench press meet in Anchor Bay, on June 14th. And thankfully, you know, both you guys came up for it. It's Father's Day weekend, to watch it. We did that last year. This year we raised money for a special response team and the Wisconsin Law Enforcement Memorial. And I want to bring that up because unfortunately the state of Wisconsin lost another law enforcement officer over the last weekend. Milwaukee police officer Chris McCray was shot and killed. And so we're still grieving that. And when you lose one, doesn't matter what agency it is, we all did. And I don't know all the details, but I know that it was more of an ambush situation. The person that took his life is in custody, and he also shot another Milwaukee officer that's going to be okay. And it's tough. I don't know the police chief very well, but, you know, I have his number, and those are hard messages to send out. You know, here he's, you know, overseeing the largest law enforcement agency in our state. And this is, I believe, the second time since he's been chief that he's lost somebody, you know, in gunfire. And just, it's a harsh reminder how dangerous this job is, no matter if you're in Milwaukee, Madison, or Wood County. It can happen. It's a dangerous job. So, you know, as far as the listeners, please, you know, keep them, you know, keep all of us in our thoughts and prayers. It never gets old to hear somebody to say, hey, thank you for your service. But we're all hurting right now, and Milwaukee PD is, especially right now, with the loss of one of their own.
Yeah, empathize with them. Feel for that. And appreciate you touching on it.
Yeah. You know, a couple other things. You know, like I said, the bench press meet, to bring that up again a little bit. Huge thank you to it grew from last year to this year. Huge thank you to Anchor Bay for allowing us to have the event there. The weather cooperated. We had it outside where the bands perform, and it's something different. Mm-hmm. You know, and Caitlin knows this, unfortunately. You know, back in the day when I liked to do powerlifting, and I drug them around when they were little kids to many places, and then kind of got out of it for a while, and then COVID hit, and then everything stopped for whatever reason. And then we say, why don't we do this? And then the owners at Anchor Bay bid on that. And yeah, so then it was successful last year. And then this year we raised money for a special response team, and again, the Wisconsin Law Enforcement Memorial. So we had more lifters than last year, quite a bit more sponsors all locally. You know, most of them are, and a huge thank you to them. And you know, we raised quite a bit of money for our special response team that, you know, the equipment's expensive, but it's just gratifying to see the people within our community wanting to support us. So a huge thank you to the lifters, the sponsors, and Anchor Bay for allowing the meet to happen out there. Also, the Bluegrass Festival, that was the same weekend. Carolyn Saylor and their team, the Wisconsin Rapids Lions, you know, they raised $10,000 for our SISM group. You know, it's the third year that they chose SISM to, you know, support. Yeah. And that's such a personal cause for them, for what they went through. It's really humbling to accept the money under that cause, because they lost their daughter, and you know, they freely talk about that. And here you put yourself out there for an event, and you pick causes.
Yeah.
And they've chosen us 3 years now. And raised a lot of money because, you know, we sat down and it just came out with a conversation. What is SISM? What does it mean? You know, and how does it help people? Mm-hmm. And to choose that, and how that helps all of our first responders, that's huge. So, you know, they weren't as happy as with how much money they rose. And I'm like, $10,000 is a lot of money. You know, I know you've done more in the past, but we're so appreciative. Mm-hmm. It's going to... and their goals were to, all right, SISM was just in Wood County, and they wanted to expand that to other counties. And, mm-hmm. you know, we have, you know, Portage County has their SISM team, and that gave us an opportunity now to work with each other. When you have, you know, these traumatizing incidents, now we've got more people to, hey, who's available to come in and handle the debrief? Okay, and then what more do we need to do here? What kind of counseling or therapy do we need to do? What kind of follow-up needs to happen? And it's grown. So, I mean, the goals have been being, you know, made with what we talked about 3 years ago with them, and it's a great accomplishment, and it's so appreciative on our end.
And that doesn't even account the attention and awareness that they've been able to bring to that and some other things as well. They do a great job. I'm really happy that you're able to take in some of the events and everything. I know we had a lot of fun with that one too. Great event for a great cause. I don't know that anybody does this better than this area. Great time, great cause.
Yeah,
we do this a lot, and that's another one.
Yeah, it was awesome to see Southbound, a local band, kick it off. Yeah. And Todd Tway cuts my hair, and I always ask him, like, you got anything to help me out up here? He's got nothing.
Nothing. You
know, but he's the lead singer.
If you hear anything, let me know. One day I'm gonna need that advice.
Don't complain right now. go out as long as you can.
Right.
But his daughter flew in. I didn't realize you're talking about. She's a singer out in the East Coast, and she got to sing with him, and that was just
That's awesome.
And she's awesome. And it was a great moment to see them sing together, and she. We should move over here, but I think the money's out there, but who knows. But yeah, I don't know how much time we have left.
Got a couple minutes left if you want to, if you had anything else.
Team Rapids, I don't know if you've gotten the opportunity to hear much about them. Great. They had an event last week, really built from an endowment that came in as a significant donation that came towards Gus Mancuso. Mm-hmm. And the vision, I think, was initially towards Rapids football, and then it just grew, yeah, you know, into all athletics at Wisconsin Rapids. You know, you look at the quadplex, you look at the football stadium, and the message that was just phenomenal that Gus had at this event last week was, you know, you have a community that's invested in our students in, yeah, athletics, you know, and it's not all about athletics, but you look at that impact that it has on kids. Now you probably have the best facilities around in the state. Mm-hmm. Now let's get the kids to come out and play. And there's challenges out there with kids that, you know, it could be a financial concern or something. So it grew, and I think that is such an awesome cause, from football to all athletics, mm-hmm, you know, in the Wisconsin Rapids area. So What a cool thing. And the event was held at the Ridges, and like I said, Gus had a awesome speech. He brought in, you know, former players, one being Vince Beagle, mm-hmm, and I tell you, he had a phenomenal speech. You get people that, and I do it, you know, you bring up an outline or you read from something, you know, because you want to make sure you hit your points. And what was so special about Vince's speech was it wasn't scripted. And it was spoken from the heart, and he didn't talk about himself. And that says a lot about an individual.
Absolutely.
And about not just his experience at, you know, in football, but in life, and the impact athletics had on him, you know, the impact coaches had on him, mm-hmm, the impact that the school system at Wisconsin Rapids had on him, and was very admirable to bring up that, hey, it wasn't me. It was this. And, you know, so it was a great event that raised some money, and I would continue to, I will to tell people, if you see an opportunity, you want to give some money to a phenomenal cause, you know, please do it for Team Rapids. And a huge shout out to, you know, Gus and the people that he has brought on, mm-hmm, to his team to move this forward. This endowment should last forever. So I donate to it, and I strongly, you know, would have everybody else. And they also, you know, Tony Viola, a good friend of mine that coach at Lincoln, and I talked about the history that I have there with him, stepped aside. Mm-hmm. So there was, you know, some recognition for him, which, yeah, I'd love to see, because Tony gave him a lot of his life to Rapids football and, mm-hmm, being a coach. And he's going to, you know, I believe teach one more year, and then, mm-hmm, he'll be at that time to step aside. He's got quite a few grandkids, and, you know, life will take him in a different direction. And those are cool things to see. But huge shout out to Tony. You know, he gave me an opportunity to coach with him for 10 years, you know, and that's pretty special, because, you know, I was thinking about, you know, that went by really fast. And there's two things to highlight. You know, one is the moment when kids are playing, mm-hmm, that you don't forget. You know, those games, whether we win or lose. You know, there's so many memories that I have in 10 years that of the games.
Yeah.
You know, and some really awesome ones, even tough losses. But, you know, those I forget. But what's even more important as a coach is what you see out of these kids growing up into, mm-hmm, adults, mm-hmm, and then still getting the opportunity to talk to them and see what they're doing and the impact they've made and, you know, whatever they do moving forward. You know, it's those are awesome memories that, mm-hmm, that you have as a coach. And I've been really fortunate to have done that for the past 10 years.
A big thank you to Coach, and certainly looking forward to the new coach coming in and getting, yeah, to know them and everything. And we had Team Rapids in and got to talk with Gus. And after
you did,
I got.
Sorry about that.
Well, it took a couple minutes because I actually was joking with him in the pregame and everything that I got to stop calling you Mr. Mancuso and not feeling, mm-hmm, like I'm in trouble. Because that's usually when I was talking to him, that's how it usually went. No, but he was really good to me as a kid. and it was really kind of full circle for both of us having him in. But then when we got talking about this subject, this is one of my favorite topics to talk about, is the way that sports impact our communities, impact kids, impact the world. We know the percentages of how many kids go from high school to college and continue to play athletics. And we know that percentage goes down quite a bit when it comes to college to the pros. But every one of those kids is going to go on to do something.
Yep.
And whatever they're doing, having a bit of confidence, having people skills, understanding what it's like to work with others, I can keep going and keep going, and what sports bring to the to a person, and how much it builds a community, the economic impact it has, especially here in Rapids with what you were just touching on with the facilities that are better than most anybody has.
Right.
This has a deeper impact than just you know, wins and losses. It's so much bigger than that. You speak to that and touch on that, whether intentionally or not, with everything you were just talking about there. We didn't talk about any championships. We didn't talk about any of those kind of things. We're talking about people. We're talking about, and as much as I love wins and I love winning and all that, it's bigger than that. And this, I think it's nice to have these reminders. Similar to the grant we were talking about earlier, it's a nice, and even Bluegrass at the Lake or some of these other events, these are also serve as reminders to our community, to us, to me in general, and everybody else out there, of the of how much deeper things are than they are on the surface, and how much more there is to this game than what we're talking about here. The investment that is made with Team Rapids and taking things going forward with that is it's game changing. It really is, and it can make a real impact on a lot of people. You just one little example of that. You touched on something before between me and my brother. There was quite a bit of change for my family financially. I wasn't able to do a lot of the athletics that I would have liked to have done. By the time my brother comes around, they're able to do those things. And Nick's a good kid. I'm not. So look at no, I'm joking. But it's something that to speak to this, where there's going to be kids now that are able to join athletics, do things, and who knows, maybe that does straighten them a little bit more. Maybe it does give more direction or just a little more confidence or any of these other things. It's an investment that you can't put a price on. Shout out to them and what they're doing there, and everybody who has helped out with that. It's great.
Yeah. No, it's been, just, you know, from Team Rapids and evolving, you know, it's unfortunate it comes from, you know, money, but you have an individual that has it and wants to make a difference with it. And those are the people that, you know, are truly good people, you know, when they're not only helping the people around them like family, but they go above and say, okay, now I've done this, how can I, you know, have an impact on the community that I'm from? And this is a big one.
Anything else you wanted to touch on before I let you go, Sean?
Jail update. As everybody knows, we built a new jail. We're around 3 months in to the new facility. If you drove by around downtown, you'll notice the old jail is gone.
Yeah.
It went down in like 2 weeks. But so that next phase of the project is well underway, where they'll be putting in a parking lot and some green space, and then you'll see some demolition going on in front of the courthouse. That block has now been vacated. And once the company that we're working with that did demo the old jail, they'll move, you know, towards the front of the courthouse. So just please be patient. Mm-hmm. Give it a few months, and I think that downtown is going to look really nice. I like that partnership the county has with the city and working together to it's going to have a much nicer look downtown Wisconsin Rapids. And who knew that a jail could do that?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. We're excited to see not only that, but how that area is going to develop and everything. I agree with you. I'm already looking forward to hanging out again next month. Sean, do appreciate the time. Caitlin, Dylan, thanks so much again for hanging out with us, putting up with my questions and all of that. Appreciate you guys being here. Thanks again. And Sean, we will talk again real soon. You be safe out there, right?
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
And appreciate all of you joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.